Welcome to the Arena Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message.
It's something that's particularly with this town. I grew up in this town, and although I've moved out and I live in the town just next to it, Ripley, Belper's still on my heart. So for me, serving Belper and serving the people that I grew up with, the people that I know have Jesus pushed away from their hearts, there's something in me that tells me, the Holy Spirit in me that's telling me, I need to be serving those that I grew up with. And that's what I want to do. And that's something that I want to talk about with you today. I mean, it'd be difficult for me. So many of you know, James is a book in the Bible I absolutely love. So it'd be difficult for me to talk about serving without talking about a guy that said, we must have faith, but our faith must be evident in works. So many of you will know James is the half-brother of Jesus. You may also remember that James is thought to have been an unbeliever before the resurrection. Seems strange to me that you could grow up with a man like that and still have doubts with the stuff that he was saying. But so it's mentioned in John 7 that it was clear that his brothers didn't believe in him. Mark states that his family thought that Jesus was out of his mind and came seeking for him, assuming to drag him back home, get him out of the way of everybody. James was there in the sightings of Jesus after his death, after the resurrection. And it was at that point that he started to believe. We've looked at James in the past a few times here at Arena. And I've done the message, which is in his letter, that it doesn't discount the grace doctrine, but it completes it. It complements it. It outlines the behaviour, the fruit of a believer, because of the grace doctrine. The grace which is given to us all by God. And it changes us. It changes our hearts and the roots inside of us. So then it is evident in how we act to our community and how we treat people around us. James opens it up straight away in that letter. First, who he is, and second, who his Lord is. Now, if we look at that first part of James 1, and I want you to say to yourself, take James's name out of that. Put your own name in it. And it says, for me, if I was to say it, it would be Roy, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that I have to place on my heart. It's something that I want to be me. And it's a great thing that through his Spirit, he dwells in me. He dwells in each and every one of us to help us serve him, the people in our community, and our church. So how do we learn how to serve? In his word. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The word of God continually changes us. It is alive and it is working within us. And as I go through this today, the word will be the foundation of my preach. I must say, I feel privileged to be part of a church that one, is Bible believing, and two, believes that we are here to serve our community. Arena Church's mission statement says we should to go, to grow, to love and serve our world. We're in a year of growth, but a season of serve. So let's go out, serve, and show God's love to this world. So we've got, as David said, we've got our serve day coming up. May the 4th. Some people at Star Wars fans are thinking Star Wars Day. don't really know what that means because I can't get into Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars Day. May the 4th is our serve day. And for Arena Church and what should be for believers all over the world, it should be more than just a day. We should have a serve year, which is repeated from January to December, January to December, January to December. But Serve Day is a great day where we get to do something that helps our community, helps shine a light on this church, helps shine a light on the servants of the Lord, but most importantly, helps shine a light on our God. So the title of today, We Serve to be Planted. So I'm going to look at the serving in great detail and a little bit of planted at the end. But first of all, why do we serve? Fundamentally, God commands that we serve. It commands that we're obedient to Him. But we serve because Jesus did and continues to do so. In Jesus, God in flesh, He came down to serve His own creation. Who are we not to serve? Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." We spoke about this a few weeks ago in small group, how lowly He placed Himself. He came down so humbly to do the role of a slave in washing the feet of His disciples. These were men that were seen as the lows of society. These were men that was pushed aside. They were mocked because of the way they speak. And I'm aware that we do that with Man United fans, but they were mocked for the way that they speak. And Chelsea, not West Ham. They were mocked for who they were. They were mocked for their positions in society. And He put Himself below them. What a God that we serve. We serve not for reward. In 1 Corinthians 1:5-7 says, "For in Him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirmed with testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." We've already been given everything by our God. Being children of God, He has already blessed us. We have our reward. We've discussed several weeks back about praying on the corners versus praying in private. When we serve, it isn't a public demonstration for us, but who we are because of God in us and because of what God has done for us. Which leads me to my next point. We serve not for glory. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall." God's kingdom and God Himself should be who we keep our eyes on while we serve. If we are doing this, people who see us at work, while we serve the church or we serve in our community or we're in the workplace, get a snippet of the God that we love. Just a small gap through the door to the glory of our Heavenly Father. We serve, and as David said, worship's more than music. We serve as a sign of worship and joy. And if we serve in joy, we serve to the glory of our God. And the world gets a glimpse of His glory. And because of Him, a change in our hearts so that we want to serve and enjoy doing so. I remember watching a stand-up comedian a few years back, and in one of his jokes, he was probably talking a little bit more serious, but he talks about not enjoying being with his celebrity friends. And the reason he says he doesn't enjoy being with his celebrity friends is because of how the fans react when they're in their presence, and how the fans cheer the names of these celebrities. And it's more than just a TV program in the sense that these fans see these people as idols. I know that as a football fan, there is a line and you have to separate yourself from the football and taking it too far. But these fans would scream and go crazy around these celebrities. And his fear was that if his own fans did the same, that it would start to affect how he saw himself, with an arrogance, with a pride that will build up inside him. And this can happen to each and every one of us if we're serving for our own recognition, for people to be thankful to us for what we do, rather than showing gratitude to the God that we're serving. So we serve to serve God. Galatians 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." If whatever we do, and I know we usually look at this verse for our careers or our jobs or being in the workplace, but whatever we do, when we serve because it's in our heart to serve those around us. We serve because we know that in doing so, it pleases God. And our heart is to be obedient to God. And we look to please him in our faith. And with our faith comes work. Do we serve for our salvation? Not a chance. Not with our God. He dealt with that for us. We were saved through grace and faith in Jesus and what he did those 2,000 plus years ago. We serve not to be saved, but because we are saved. Nothing we can do can come close to what God did on that cross. So how should we serve? We should serve in humility. Psalms 84:10 says, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." With risk of repeating myself, humble actions to serve a God that did humble things. As each of us are equal in the eyes of God and only set apart because of our faith. If Jesus can humble himself to a lowly beginning, serving at a lowly position and then have a lowly end before his resurrection, we need to understand our position in serving others. Serving with a willingness to serve everyone. Ephesians 6 verse 7 says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord and not people." Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." We talked about serving to be seen. Not for the glory or to receive attention and gratitude from others bestowed upon us when they see our sacrificial service. But this can be amplified. The more important the person, the greater the perceived attention from them. It can happen in the workplace. A search for acknowledgement from a senior manager can be seen as more important than some of your peers. Jesus, on the other hand, came to serve everyone, especially the least among us. It doesn't take me much to jump to James for wisdom. And that opening verse of James 2 tells us favoritism is a no-no. It's not just the poor versus the rich in these situations. Jesus served a man who was later to go on and betray him. And I find worst of all with that is that he knew he would do it as well. But he still chose to serve him in those moments. We may feel like people don't deserve our love sometimes. We may think to ourselves, why should we help them? The things that they've said to me or done to me, or the things that they've said about my faith even. But we serve because Jesus came for all. We were called to love our neighbours, each and every one of them. We are to serve with an uncomplaining spirit. Luke 17, verses 7 to 10 says, suppose one of you had a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? And that you may eat and drink. Sorry, after that you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. One way you can tell if you have a true servant's attitude is how you respond when you are treated like a servant. Are you looking for praise? Be content to serve to the glory of God. Are we happy to serve people who look down on us because of our faith? We live in a world at the moment where people do that. We're scoffed at, we're laughed at. Are you happy to get into the dirty, nitty-gritty areas when you're serving? I know it's hard, but joyful giving last week and a joyful serving this week. And we serve in joy because we remember what God has done for us. We remember who God is and what we want. Hard working while we serve. Galatians 3:22 and verse 23 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence of the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Our service needs to be done with this wholeheartedness for God. We shouldn't be reluctant or lukewarm. And it is noticed by others when we do so. And it can stick. I've seen it firsthand in the workplace where believers I used to work with were not quite so pulling their weight. And people ask the questions, particularly because they know I'm a believer, is that the attitude of somebody in the Christian faith? It's difficult for them to see different people in that situation. They see the worst in everyone. We must remember every day that we are representing God when we serve. In whatever environment it is, people are looking at you to see God. Work hard, show kindness and goodness that emulate him. We have to be faithful to serve. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. Service should be done with faithfulness of the heart. If we agree to help someone or help them do something, we need to follow through with it. It's the oath which James talks about in James 5. If you have any doubt about doing something, then don't say yes. If you do say yes, be faithful and follow it through. Now, I know firsthand it's very easy to be faithful when you first come to faith. When you first feel welcomed by a church, you want to serve in any way you can and you jump at it. When I first started coming to this campus, I was asked, either the first or the second Sunday I was here, can I help with the garden? We're doing something with that garden. And I jumped at it. Came straight from work, straight into the garden to help tidy up. It was a short while later where I was asked to come and help with the patio. Yep, absolutely, I'm there. And David knows this, Kaylee knows this, and Kaylee wasn't very happy with me doing this. But the night before doing the patio, I was rushed to hospital with a suspected heart attack. But I still turned up afterwards. The doctors probably would have kept me in if they thought that was the case, but I still turned up. And that isn't me trying to say that I am better than anybody else or anything like that. That's me saying that I have to challenge myself and say, would I do that now? And it's difficult. You do have to do that. And it's what my employer calls a reactive versus consistency demeanour. And he's talking about there, if there's a problem, how are we jumping to fix it? But then do we continue to do it or do we fall back into our old ways? And that's something that I do have to challenge myself with. Am I as obedient as I used to be? Do I jump at service or serving others as I used to be? And if not, why? And how do I get back there? And I have to be honest with myself and think, there is times where David's asked me to do something and I've thought about it rather than it being yes, absolutely, straight away. So, who do we serve? Joshua 24 verse 15 says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves a day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that is such a great verse, and it's a really challenging verse as well. Who do I serve? Is my flesh my master? Is football an idol to me? Do I prioritize God over sports? Do I prioritize God, which is a difficult one for a lot of people, over their career? We live in such a busy world that things are moving all the time. Things are so fast that do I make time for prayer? Do I make time for the Word? It can be too easy to be caught up, spend time on my phone or in a book, and then say, I haven't had much time to pray today. Rest after work is very important, but rest in the Lord is head and shoulders above it. So if I know this, and I know that when I do come in early or stay late at church, and when I come to help in the garden, or Bernie and Faye when they're here to greet people and serve teas and coffees and everything else that they do, and clean on a Thursday, which many people don't see, when Dan's on the back and no one thinks about what he's doing until things go wrong. Andy when he's in and he's leading worship. When David and Jeanette are here to open the doors in the week and speak to people and follow up with people and stuff like that. Should we be grateful to them? Absolutely. Are they doing it for us? Yes. But more importantly, they're doing it for the God that we serve. The God that has done so much for us. Acts 17 verse 25 says, "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." It's that grace versus works question. God doesn't need us. And what's just popped into my mind now is David saying that when he first came to faith, he thought he was doing God a favour. But we're serving a perfect God. What favour can we possibly give him that he can't do for himself? We serve his kingdom by serving his people. Serving God fosters intimacy with him. And when we obey God through serving, he promises to draw near to us. Then we can experience his presence. And his presence can guide us to the right opportunities to serve. And it can provide us with his peace in difficult moments when we don't want to serve. And his supernatural strength to persist in serving those that we may struggle to serve for. So then, to draw things to a close, is our love for God and for others self-interested? Or do we serve from a heart without expecting anything in return? We should love God. The most important characteristics of serving of God is that he or she knows and loves God and is continually striving to know God better. So my challenge to everybody today is to think about how you can serve. Got some questions that should come up on the screen. First one, what are some ways you could use your skills and talents to honour God? God has given each and every one of us a skill and a talent to aid his kingdom. Which spiritual gifts do you feel are most evident in your life? The gifts he has given us can connect to him and be a branch for his people. Are there any areas of ministry that you feel you can add value to? And I want to say that each and every person in this church has a value to God and a value to ministry and a value to this church and to the community of Belpa as a whole. What are you doing to develop your skills and talents? If you're not sure, Arena has a great team in place that can help you develop, help you step forward and help you identify where you can serve. What step can you take to grow in the way you serve the Lord? A question that must be placed on each and everybody's hearts today. How can you grow to serve the Lord? So when you are helping your community, when you are helping your local church, when you are helping God, your purpose becomes evident. God's will is apparent. You start to feel at home and you start to feel planted. Let's pray. Lord, because of your finished work on the